Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. We have a great show for you today. Today, we'll be talking with two Army veterans who are leading the way, helping our veterans and military families with meaningful employment opportunities and transition assistance. So please stick around. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA, together they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and family. I'm going to say it every week. We love them too. As I said earlier, we're going to focus on veterans and family employment after service and a topic that is dear to my heart, transition. And I'm so excited to introduce Tim Best, Chief Executive Officer of the U.S. Army and a U.S. Army veteran, and Chris Newsom, Senior Vice President, also a U.S. Army veteran of Recruit Military, one of the leading military recruiting firms in the country. So thanks for coming on the show.
Glad to be here, Sergeant Major Tilley.
Thanks for having us, Sergeant Major.
Well, thanks for coming on. And now remember, we got to have that Army spirit as we get talking here a little bit here.
That's easy.
Hey, we have a lot to talk about today. But before we do that, let's tell the audience just a little bit about yourself. And we'll start, Tim, we'll start with you. Tell the audience a little bit about you.
Sure thing. Thanks, Sergeant Major. Well, I started my professional career in the Army, where I served 9 years, starting out as an Apache pilot at Fort Bragg, Fort Liberty now. And then assessed and made it through the gauntlet to become a Night Stalker and ended up as a AH-6 attack little bird pilot there in B Company. And, you know, I had an incredible experience. I got to work for some of the greatest leaders and with the greatest teammates on the planet. Really formed a lot of who I became as a professional during that time. When I hit the 8 to 9 year point, I made the tough decision to transition out and transitioned directly into the space I'm in now, military recruiting. You know, I didn't know anything about recruiting. I certainly didn't know anything about the military recruiting industry, but kept an open mind. And when I was interviewing with Bradley Morris at the time, I really fell in love with the team, the leaders, and certainly the purpose and mission and staying connected to the community. So I jumped right in, drank from the fire hose, was given all kinds of opportunities early in my career there, been able to stay green and growing the whole time, and eventually found myself in a position where I was being groomed to take over as CEO as the original founders were looking to retire, and took that job close to 10 years ago. And since I've worked leading the company for two separate private equity firms, have gotten to partner with an incredible group of teammates here at Recruit Military who have truly created the platform that we are today. The Recruit Military is truly the leader in connecting employers with the military community. And, you know, I Sergeant Major, I get to wake up every day and come to work with an incredible group of teammates. One, they're located across the globe, which I think a lot of people don't realize about Recruit Military. We've got teammates all over the place. They're incredibly talented, super passionate about our purpose, which is a requirement to be a part of our team. And then just the commitment and dedication they bring to the task every day, truthfully, really kind of forces me to feel like I got to raise my level every day just to meet their standards. And something I'm really, really grateful for. You know, on the personal side, Nicole and I, my wife, we've lived in Chesapeake, Virginia for most of the time since we transitioned. We raised three kids there. They're all kind of set off on their professional journeys doing well. Our oldest of which is actually serving the Army. He's a Green Beret. has an incredible wife who's an awesome military spouse, has our first grandchild and granddaughter, which is awesome. So, you know, feeling really blessed on all fronts. And I just would close my intro, Sergeant Major, with this is, I really believe my story is a really great Army and military recruiting story. And I don't mean that because of anything that I brought necessarily to the Army. I mean it because I really feel like the Army gave me so much opportunity to begin my career and then to take all of those learnings with me. It's been a true blessing. And I know there's thousands and thousands of other stories like that out there. And I just would love to hear us telling those more. I'm really grateful that you've given us a chance to do that ourselves. So thank you.
Yeah, well, just a few minutes. We're gonna talk about that too. I think everybody was changed. You, me, and everybody else was changed by just your time in the military. Chris, how about yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Sergeant Major. That's a tough one to follow. So not to date myself, but
well, you're a baby. I don't know. You're a baby.
I know. Yeah, it's pinchable cheeks and all. Not to date myself, but I was a senior in high school, September 11th, 2001. And that was a really galvanizing moment for myself personally, as I know it was with tens of thousands of service members at that point in time, or soon to be service members. So I wasn't 100% sure what to do. I knew I felt something. I needed to be a part of a response. I needed to answer that call, essentially. So within a day or so, I was in the recruiting station. And then by November, about 2 months later, I was in the delayed entry program. So as soon as I graduated, roughly, I want to say 2 weeks, I went ahead and I shipped out to Fort Benning, Georgia. So I did my basic training at Sand Hill. I did AIT and Airborne School there. And then I was stationed at the 82nd Airborne, Fort Bragg at the time, currently Fort Liberty. And I did a grand total of 4 years. I know that doesn't stack up to a full career like yourself, Sergeant Major, but
that's quite all right. Quite all right.
I appreciate that breathing room. But within that 4 years, I did knock out three basically back-to-back combat tours, one to Afghanistan, two to Iraq. So I squeezed a lot into a relatively short period of time, transitioning as a junior non-commissioned officer, E5 sergeant, team leader, quasi-squad leader at times. And to Tim's point, it's a lot about what the Army gave to me. It's that experience that truly helped me grow into the man that I am today and the father that I am today and the community partner that I try to be each and every single day. You know, it gave me an opportunity to do something bigger than myself, and I will be forever grateful for that. I would have done that job without being paid. But fast forward, I had my education benefits. So I paid into the GI Bill. I used those benefits. I was on the tail end of getting my degree when I encountered Recruit Military. I had a couple peers that I had served with that were aware of the organization and oriented me in that direction. I found out they were hiring, and I very easily and quickly left the role that I was in at that time and threw my hat in the ring and jumped in the game as far as being a part of this mission to ensure that employment isn't a barrier for our community. It was a struggle for me, as I know it was for a lot of guys and gals when we transition. You know, we don't always know how to translate our skill sets or figure out where we fit. And that's exactly what we do here. You know, we help to streamline those connections to make sure that, you know, with everything that is transition and everything in the military space that can be a system or an obstacle to navigate, employment does not have to be one of them. So I've been here. I now serve as the head, if you will, for our Department of Defense and Government Services programs, making sure that we are very adequately plugged in to the actual DOD, to the Department of Defense, to the point of transition, to the Guard Reserve, to make sure that we can get that message in front of these men and women and help them get connected as soon as humanly possible, ideally before they even hit their DD-214.
Yeah. So was you 11 Bravo?
I was. I was a grunt.
So I'm an old combat arms guy. You guys have some interesting history, especially you talk about Night Stalkers. I'm sure all the people that are listening probably don't know that's associated with the special operations and all that other stuff. Stay pretty active, pretty busy. The other thing he was talking about is infantry guy. I mean, as a young Sergeant E5, I guess he was probably a team leader in the squad or something like that, or squad leader, depending on how many people you got in your platoon or company right there. T- two very important jobs in the military. And so I just, before we even start, I'd say thank you for you guys' service. I tease you a little bit because, you know, 9 and 4, that's not even halfway on my time. But it's really important that you guys come on and talk to us. One of the things that you touched on just a minute ago, and I'm going to talk about it right now, can you tell each of us how the military, it changed my life. There's no question about that. Can you tell us how the military changed your life and really set you up for what you're doing today? And Tim, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. And change it did. You know, I really summarize it with four things, Sergeant Major. First is, it gave me confidence. You know, in the military, it seems like every day there's an opportunity to be challenged, to go through something harder than you thought you could ever go through. And when you make it through those things, on the other side, you learn about your own threshold for pain. You learn what your limitations are, and you learn that you could do things that you never thought you were capable of. That creates a confidence that lasts.
Yeah.
The second thing is it gave me a framework, right? Like, you know, in the military, all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, that's what a great team looks like. That's what great leadership looks like. That's how you look at a problem and create a solution. That's how you plan a mission and execute it. That's how you communicate effectively. And that framework has served me really well since I've transitioned. It gave me a community. And I think almost every veteran I talk to and their families echo this, that we didn't always appreciate it enough while we were in. We took it for granted a lot of times. But once you leave, you really recognize how incredible that community was. Nicole and I look back on our time as a young couple in the Army as one of the best times in our life. And I'm sure it's true for both of you, so many of our friends and the close relationships we have in our life now, decades later, come from that time in our life. It's really amazing. And then I'll wrap that up, Sergeant Major, with this. All of that helped me, I think, really formalize for me what my personal core values were. And they were, I think a lot of them were created there. And it's, for me personally, it's love thy neighbor. It's be green and growing. It's have discipline, and it's get after it, work hard.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, I tell people all the time, I went, in fact, I got to tell you, Chris, I was in the Pentagon for 9/11. So, but anyway, going back here a little bit, when I went in at 17 years old, and I went to basic AIT jump schooling and straight to war. So I tell people, I went from 18 to 55. I mean, I grew so fast. I mean, because war makes you change, and you see things differently. You appreciate life a little bit more, and you probably look at your inner self just a little bit more about, you know, what's really important to you. You know, it's you know, you can have money, you can have all this other stuff, but what's really important, and what's really important to me and to you too, I'm sure, is the people around you that you can help and the people's lives that you can change and stuff like that. Chris, how about yourself? How did the military change you?
Yeah, I actually, it dovetails perfectly off of what you just said. Framework, perspective. My experience, at least on the very front end, was not unlike yours in that, you know, I zipped through basic training, AIT, airborne school, and then I want to say within a month or two of getting to the 82nd, to the 3rd of the 504th, I was on a C-17 headed to Afghanistan. It was pretty instantaneous. Like I barely got time to really get to know even everybody's name, you know, in the platoon. Yeah. We got to train very, very briefly, but I was coming in at the tail end of what had already been a workup for them. So it does mature you extremely fast. It forces you down some pathways for leadership. And again, more that perspective. When you go to some of these places across the world and you see how other cultures live and exist, it gives you appreciation for what we have here. We've got a really great thing here in America. There can be turmoil sometimes, but this is the greatest country in the world, if you ask me. And being able to see side by side comparisons in real world experience helped me to just hold on to that appreciation and remember it. And that's a lesson I can teach my kids. So that framework was amazing. And you know, being a part of something bigger than myself, You know, it's very easy to be egocentric, especially when you're young, especially when you're 18, 17, 18 years old, figuring out what you do next after high school. And the military gives us an opportunity to see magnitude and scale of what your piece, what seems like a small job, how that impacts the greater landscape. So that framework has really, you know, stayed with me since day one of basic training.
You know, I always tell people, I give the Army any successes I've had in life. Of course, I tell my, you know, my family, my mother, my father, but the Army changed me to who I am today, whether or not it's good or bad, but it changed me to who I am today and the successes that I've had and the people I met. In fact, I tell people all the time, so many people while I was in the military that I certainly don't know all their names. The other thing is that I told somebody one time that unfortunately, because of war, that you see so many people that you lose, that loss of life and wounded or whatever, that it sometimes I simply think by the grace of God something like that didn't happen to me, and I just feel really blessed. Tim, Recruit Military was started in 1998 with a specific mission of connecting the military community, including the family members in corporate America, especially those companies who, you know, want to hire veterans. Would you talk about that and tell us the history and mission?
Sure thing. And thanks for that opportunity to do that. You know, Recruit Military, our purpose is empowering the military community through meaningful career opportunities. So the way we get after that every day is acting on our mission, which is connecting employers with the military community. And we realized, you know, over the past three decades, as we were growing the various businesses that came together to be Recruit Military, that to really create the kind of outcomes that needed to be created, we needed to bring all the different products and services that help create those connections together in one enterprise, in one platform, to create the kind of efficiency and effectiveness and synergies that are needed there. And so, you know, over the past 10 years, we got very aggressive about bringing together various companies, and through mergers and acquisitions have created this differentiated and consolidated brand, Recruit Military, which Sergeant Major really is an amalgamation of Recruit Military, Bradley Morris, MBA Veterans, and a company called Career Development. And we've taken that approach, and then we've added to that a mindset of partnership. Because, you know, I think something we learned in the military, trying to be everything to everybody is a recipe for failure.
Yeah.
So we're very clear at Recruit Military what we are, and we're the connector. But as you know, our job seekers, our employers, our partners, there's lots of other aspects of this environment that they need help with. We're not experts in all those. So we go out with that partnership mindset and partner with organizations like DAV, a decade-long partner of ours that does so much great work for the veteran community. USAA is an example of a great corporate partner and such an advocate of the community, and I know of yours. And then, you know, on the ground, the DOD, and working with the transition teams and the leaders and those people every day that are pouring into transitioning service members and their families, trying to help them create success in their post-military journey. So that's been very effective for us. And, you know, we still got room to grow, but it's been an exciting ride.
Yeah, it sounds like the other thing, I just add on what you just said, there's a lot of people that talk about hiring veterans, and really, quite frankly, from my perspective, that's all they do is talk. And the other thing they want to do is they want to hire a veteran, don't pay them very much. And things got to be fair. Yeah, you know, when you come out of the military, you have a skill set that not too many people have. And Chris, you talked about a little bit, the leadership, the development, how, you know, decision-making process and all that stuff. So that's really important to an employer to hire a veteran. I tell people all the time, when you hire a veteran, you improve a company. You improve that organization. There's a question
Absolutely.
About that. Hey, Chris, what are the four things service members need to do to help them in preparation for transition? I know there's more than four.
Yeah.
Give me a few of them there.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me consolidate down to what I would consider the most paramount four. First, understand that when you're going through transition, you need to go early and you need to go often. One of our good friends and partners over on the DoD side, retired Colonel Walter Hurd, he runs Point for Transition for Human Resources Command for the Army. And that's his motto, go early, go often. And I subscribe to that as well. There's a lot of non-mandatory resources and classes that are available to you. And while they may not be mandatory, I mean, they are absolutely crucial to your success. So make sure you're leveraging all of the resources that are at your fingertips. You know, you're invest in yourself. You know, take that time to make sure that you are drinking in all of the best practices, all of the wisdom that's being bestowed at the point of transition from those stakeholders. Beyond that, I would say also establish a network. Establish a network of support. Where are you going? Are you going back to your home of record? Are you going to a new market? You know, service members tend to get kind of scattered to the wind, depending on what their next step in life is going to be. So regardless of where you're going, make sure that you are establishing that network between friends, family, and just general resources. It's not to say that you need to lean on a crutch all the time, but you know, there's nobody out there that hasn't had some help along the way. Even the most successful people, even self-made millionaires, as they're described, they had help. So leverage your networks and build your networks as best as you can. Going beyond that, I would say do some soul searching. Really do inward reflection and ask yourself, what motivates you? What do you want to do moving forward? It's going to be difficult to replicate the extreme purpose that you served with however long you served, you know, 4 years, 34 years, you served with extreme purpose, and it can be tricky to replicate. So really look inside yourself and ask yourself, what do you want to do moving forward? And use that to kind of fuel your hunt for the next career, you know, in this context. Make sure you're looking at organizations' mission statements. It's not just about the brand or what you think you know about that company. Really do a deep dive and try to understand culture as best as you can. Network with individuals that already work there or that have worked there. So do that soul searching so that you make sure that you find that cultural fit and that you can achieve work-life balance and all of those things that are so important to us as human beings. And lastly, I would say have a mentor. Always have a mentor. It doesn't matter if you've achieved success or not. You should have a mentor. Have them as a soundboard. Have them as a guiding light. You know, they've been there. They've done that before. I consider myself to be pretty well rooted in my career, but I have a mentor, and I will maintain a mentor throughout. So, you know, if you adhere to those best practices and follow the guidance from those around you, surround yourself with smart people, you're going to be successful. It's a guaranteed recipe for success.
I hate it. I was sitting there thinking all the time. I said, now what can I come back to Chris and talk to him about? I was going to say mentor, and then you took that away from me. So I only say you need to. I always had two or three mentors, because you just use somebody as a sounding board with your thoughts and ideas. And then I'll tell you, when you said, you know, start early, I always said, no, at least 2 or 3 years out, you got to start that process. And the other thing I think you probably would have touched on, but I'm going to touch on, because I think it's important for all of us to talk about, is ensure your family's involved in that process. Make sure that if you go to these briefings where you're going to get out of the surface stuff, take your family with you or take your spouse with you. Because let's be honest about one thing. Who makes the decisions in the family? I mean, like to say I do. I told my wife that one time. I said, you know, how come I never make a decision? She says, you make all the big decisions. I said, well, I've never made a decision. That's because none of them ever come up. That's right. So I guess I make some decisions. I'm not sure what.
Balance.
Obviously, it's on her side, not my side. Tim, you want to add anything there?
I would just add, I would back the timeline up a little bit and say, use your time in service to become the best version of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's overlooked.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I'll tell you is we're all connected. I tell people we're all connected. I'm not going to give you any money, but we're connected. I'm going to help you all I can. And you can call a veteran up, somebody that served, somebody you knew 25 years ago, yes, and call them up. It's like you talked to them yesterday. And it's a relationship that will never go away, but it's something different for people that served in the military. You know, not you know, we always think the military is a great big service. It's not. It's really pretty doggone small when you think about it. But you're all connected, and you're all going to help each other out all the way through. This is a great discussion. We're going to take a quick break. So when I return, I want to talk about how Recruit Military is doing with things that are a little bit different than other companies in the recruiting okay. space. So hold that thought. We'll be right back. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, and I know that you are because we're talking about transition, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. Also, click on the bell next to the subscribe button to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after this word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
We're talking with Tim Best, Chief Executive Officer, and Chris Newsom, Senior Vice President of Recruit Military. Tim, most companies think in the terms of sales and revenue to measure their success. Recruit Military kind of comes up with that a little bit different, don't they?
We do. We do. And you know, and certainly we used to think of things that same way. But a number of years ago, we made a decision to change the way we viewed that and the way we approached it. And our belief was that instead of focusing on us first, if instead we focused on producing value for our employers, value for our military community job seekers, value for our partners, and value in a way that helped create outcomes, helped solve problems for them, what would happen is, in the process of doing that, the right business performance would occur naturally. And the reality is it's proven to be true, immensely true. And in that time, not only have we changed the performance of the business, but I think more important, Sergeant Major, we've changed the way we're perceived in the marketplace, and we've changed our culture. Just the way we operate together as a team when we're focused on purpose and on producing value instead of what were today's sales as the only metric of success or failure has been just game changer for us.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I'll say, Tim, is they've got to trust you.
They do.
If they don't trust you, they're, first of all, they're not going to come to you. They're not going to talk to you. So they got to trust and know that you have their best interest, right there for them. Hey, Chris, you want to add anything?
The only thing I'd add is more of an extension of what Tim just said. You know, when this works for one party, it works for all parties. It's a really interesting dynamic. I don't even know if I'd call it a life cycle because there's so much that is happening at the exact same time. When that service member finds their next career, their transition is easier, they're less stressed, they're going to be professionally and financially successful. The company that is fortunate enough to onboard and retain an additional layer of military talent, they're going to be immensely more successful. This goes so far beyond, you know, doing the right thing. There's good business cases for this. Adding more military to your ranks is going to help your bottom line. And it has ripple effect. You know, it helps the Department of Defense make sure that they're transitioning these men and women successfully. As these men and women return back to their communities, they're productive members of society, they're paying taxes. It just continues to fuel the machine. So it's, you know, I kind of mentioned the perspective that the military gives you in terms of being a part of something bigger. When you see the scope and scale of what seems like a small transaction in terms of an offer being extended to a candidate, it has an immense impact at the end of the day.
Chris, as I'm talking to you, I'll ask you this question. How long does it take to find employment for somebody? You know, if I'm getting out of the service and I'm going to get out in 6 months, can you, you know, does it take 6 months to a year to find me a job or employment to get me in a job or position somewhere?
Not necessarily. No, there is a spectrum, and it does. It also depends on what are you trying to do moving forward, you know, and how soon did you start? And hence, go early, go often. You don't start once you're right of your DD-214 and all of your household goods have been, you know, delivered to your home of record. You're behind the curve. You're not going to fail, but you're behind the curve a little bit. You've given yourself a disadvantage. You know, if you're going for a federal agency, the hiring life cycle may take as long as 12 months. So you want to start that process as well in advance as possible. And truly, it's a matter of, are you adhering to the best practices? Honestly, the timeline, when it gets elongated, it's because the candidate is learning as they go. And we're trying to get in front of them to ensure that we can steward them through that process in a streamlined sort of way. You know, I can't tell you how many, you know, encounters I've had with a candidate that has submitted a resume, but perhaps it was a general resume to a very technical role, and they don't get the call back. They go, you know, they kind of go in circles for weeks or even months, only to find out your document wasn't targeted the right way for that role.
Yeah.
You know, such a simple thing that could have mitigated time loss and you know, frustration. So, you know, that's beyond the technical delivery that we have to facilitate that connection between these two parties. We want to make sure that both parties are prepared. And on the job seeker side, that's where we're getting granular and trying to help them understand, you know, we're providing workshops with federal resume writing, targeted resume writing, advanced employment workshops, covering interview techniques, stress to impress, all of those things that are going to be very important to ensure that job seeker is going to stumble immediately into success or whatever their timeline might be. So it's really based on the individual, but it does not have to be a long process at all.
Yeah, no. One quick thing of this is when I just had got out, I think the government was paying $500 million, maybe even $1 billion a year for unemployment. And back when that's 20 years ago. And now I think just the Army at that particular time, they was paying $500 million, you know, for unemployment a year. And now I think that number's a lot lower. I'm not sure what it is because of guys like yourself. Hey, Tim, you told me in a prep call how Recruit Military focuses on the needs of our veteran community. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure thing. You know, and I alluded to it earlier with the idea of having partners. And so what we do, we go to our partners, our job seekers, our employers, and instead of trying to force on them, hey, what we're great at, what we can do for them, we start with, what do you need? And a great example of that with the military community, Sergeant Major, is our work with transition professionals on the ground at the installations. And when we were awarded the Army's Tactical Connection contract and began that partnership of being a resource for their transition, we recognized really quickly that us just walking on to every installation where each TSM, each garrison command, they have different needs at different installations and at different times. And we needed to walk in with two ears and one mouth and ask, where can we be helpful? What kind of problems are you trying to solve? And sometimes that looks like, you know, bringing in our career fairs. Sometimes it looks like just bringing in staff members to help because they're undermanned with registrations, or they're undermanned with additive classes and teaching how to do resumes. And it's been a game changer for those relationships because it's allowed us to work together and to create synergies instead of just trying to force ourselves in, where sometimes it's a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah. Good information. Chris, you want to add anything to that?
Tim summed it up pretty much perfectly there. It's about listening. It's about understanding where the needs are. You know, we don't want to lead with a solution without truly understanding the depth of the problem. So that has been a game changer as far as the way that we're able to be effective. It's not about what we do. We know that what we do will fit into the mix in some way, shape, or form, but we have to understand each individual site's landscape sometimes so that we can make a strategic recommendation as opposed to, you know, selecting from an a la carte menu.
Yeah. Well, I go back and say the same thing I said a few minutes ago. They got to trust you.
Exactly.
They know that you have their best interest in heart. you know, they'll let you in. But if they think there's something there and that you're just, you know, trying to, everybody's, you got to make a little money. You got to do that. I mean, that's the way of life. But if they think you have their best interest, they'll let you in. That's for doggone. Chris, what are the three pillars of a recruit military uses to support the veteran community?
Yeah, we pride ourselves in not being a one-trick pony. There are a lot of outfits out there that are doing various things, and it truly does take a village. But for us, why we're able to make the impact that we do is because we have a pretty diverse repertoire of resources to go to provide to both job seekers and the employers that we work with that are in line to hire and retain this talent. But when you boil it down, there are three primary mechanisms that serve as the conduit between the military community, job seeker, and that employer. First and foremost is our own ecosystem, our job board. You know, we have hundreds of thousands of open opportunities that are ripe for the picking, and these are coming directly from organizations with dedicated military hiring initiatives. So that's something that's slightly different about that particular vertical. We're not pulling in state data banks. This is not random data. These are not random jobs. These are all coming specifically from organizations that we are working with hand in hand to ensure that their strategy and their tactics are sound and going to be effective to bring these men and women into their own ecosystem. So we've got a pretty exciting career portal with a lot of interesting functionality. We also do career fairs. We do hiring events. We do them all over the country and globe, depending on your perspective. We do a lot of virtual events to augment the in-person schedule to make sure that we can catch everybody. You know, we can't be in every single city. We can't be in every state. We can't be everywhere at once. You know, we'd be stretched entirely too thin, but we're in a lot of major markets on a lot of installations across all branches. And then we have the virtual events to kind of augment that schedule to make sure that everybody's got an opportunity to make that connection face to face with an employer. And then the third is our placement services, where we will actually, because again, it's important to remember, we are a recruiting firm. We are a recruiting firm that specifically focuses on military talent. So when an organization is looking for a field service technician, they can bring that job requisition to us and say that candidate might be hard to find at a career fair or within a resume database, or perhaps an organization's recruiting or HR team are thin and they need partners like us. We will jump in and we will take point on that job description. We will source for candidates. We will screen them. We will ensure that it's a fit in more ways than one. The candidate agrees to the compensation and, you know, the whole package. And then we submit those A+ candidates to that organization for consideration to hire either one or as many as they can. So placement services, events, and our career portal are the three primary verticals that we utilize to facilitate that connection.
You know, Chris, you just answered Tim's question. I was going to ask about placement services.
So I keep doing that. Sorry.
Good job.
No, that's okay. No, Tim, is there anything you want to add on to that? I mean, he covered a lot of good information right there. Anything you want to add on to
He nailed it. The one thing I'd add, Sergeant Major, is that we have an enterprise solution we call Recruit Military Service Solution, which brings all of those capabilities plus our expertise into an offering that we bring to large companies, mm-hmm. where we go in and help them develop their business case for hiring from the community, and then use our platform to aggressively build that program or support the program they already have in place. And the appetite for that has been outstanding.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of companies reach out to you that that are owners of that are also veterans, veteran-owned companies that reach out to you for, you know, hire veterans, I guess, from your organization? Probably
we do.
What, 50 or 60% of them are probably veteran-owned companies?
We do have a lot of clients that are veteran-owned companies. And, you know, even in the larger companies, which are publicly traded, a lot, a lot of senior leaders in those organizations come from the military community. Yeah. And it's not uncommon at all to have a leader in a large company, you know, come to their talent team and say, we need more military community talent in this company.
Good. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. Hey, we got a lot more to talk about, but first, it's time for us to take a short commercial break. So stay right there. Don't you guys go anywhere. I want you to be there when I come back. Okay, we'll be right back. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast, and here's a word from two more of the organizations who make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken, whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Tim Best, Chief Executive Officer, and Chris Newsom, Senior Vice President of Recruit Military. I want all of our viewers to reach out to me directly. Remember, this is your show. It's not my show. It's your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Tim, what are some of the challenges you face in the recruiting, in the veteran community?
Yeah, thanks. There's three that I find myself talking about a lot. The first is employer facing. And it's encouraging employers to take a long-term view on hiring from the military community. And here's why. You know, I'm currently in conversations with multiple industries, not companies, entire industries, about the talent shortages that our country is facing in the future, currently and in the future. And those thousands of companies represented by those industries need to become effective at hiring from the military community. There's a business case for this. And if they don't take a long-term view on it, they're going to find themselves behind the curve and really struggling with talent. The second is job seeker facing. And it's, you heard both Chris and I say this, it's keeping an open mind in the process. So often we, as job seekers, we get focused on brands we know, maybe as a consumer, or what we've heard friends or other family members experience. But the more we keep an open mind, the more we prep and have and engage in learning about other organizations, the more we might find a company we've never heard of, which, by the way, most companies we haven't heard of before as job seekers, that could be the perfect career path. And then the third is just to wrap all that together. It's encouraging both sides of that equation, the job seekers and the employers, to engage in conversations. That's why we focus on being the connector, Sergeant Major, because we know when you bring recruiting, talent, professionals, hiring managers together to speak with members from the military community, good things happen. Conversations break through these transferable skill issues, job description issues, resume issues. And so we are constantly encouraging that to help create better outcomes.
Do you have a lot of spouses that come in also? I didn't even ask about that.
We do.
When
we say military community, we're including spouses, guard, reservists, retirees, everybody in that equation.
What about their kids? Are kids coming with them? Do you help kids out too?
If they need help, we're here for them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Chris, how can veterans reach out to Recruit Military for help if they're, you know, their job search and with their transition?
Yeah. Sergeant Major, the path of least resistance is for one to create their professional profile with Recruit Military. Very seamless process, takes maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Even if you don't have time to complete it right away, you can do it from your mobile device. You can take 60 seconds, give us some basic information. And a cool thing that sets us aside from a lot of other, you know, honestly, recruiting agencies not just in our space, but in general, is that we're going to call every single job seeker. We're going to call every one of you that creates a professional profile with us, and we're going to get you oriented in the right direction. If you don't have your profile completed, if all you had the time to do was give us first name, last name, email, branch, and rank, that's okay. We will flesh that out hand in hand with you, and we will get you oriented in the right direction. We'll help you perform some job searches, identify a couple events that maybe you could attend, and get you oriented into some of those classes, some of those workshops that we talked about a little bit earlier. So go to recruitmilitary.com. There's a very simple fork in the road. I'm a job seeker. I'm an employer. You follow the job seeker path and you're going to create your own profile. And that really starts the whole process. The system kicks in, our representatives kick in, our technology kicks in, and we steward you kind of from cradle to grave.
Now, you said recruitmilitary.com. Is there a phone number for these older guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're right there. Any mode of communication, you know, between social media, between creating your profile through the website, you can always call our phone number. It's 1-800-226-0841. That's 800-226-0841. So for anybody that needs to reach out, by all means, please feel free to do so. Again, I would encourage, you know, anybody that's interested in participating in these programs, create that profile and you're going to get a phone call from us, so you don't have to hunt us down.
Well, first of all, let me tell you guys, it's just been great having you on the show. You're motivated. You want to do a good job. You want to help veterans and family members out. Then I certainly appreciate.
Thank you.
What you do and what you continue to do. And I would tell you, when I got out of the military, I don't know if I struggled, because, you know, being a former sergeant major of the Army, there's people reaching out to me and trying to help me out a little bit. But you never know where you're going to fall into, or what you're going to fall into and what you're going to do. And it's really, really interesting. Any final thoughts, anything that you want to, you know, share with the audience? And Tim, we'll start with you. Anything you want to, maybe we missed, you want to make sure they get?
Thanks, Sergeant Major. And thanks. It's been an honor to be here with you. So thank you for that. I'd say this in closing. I'd love our audiences to focus on the business case. For employers, I spoke about the business case in onboarding talent from the military community. For job seekers, the business case is how service and future service members, how that time can help create the kind of career journey we see so many have coming from the military. And I think when you combine those two things, again, it's a great recruiting story for the military to focus on.
Yeah. Chris, how about yourself? Any final thoughts, anything?
Yeah, I would piggyback with an extension of what Tim just said, which is invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Make sure that you are positioned properly and effectively for that next conversation. You know, understand your experiences and how that translates. Don't always make that the job of the recruiter or the hiring manager, because in some cases they don't always speak that language. So invest in yourself and champion for yourself and be confident. You know, I don't know if Tim and I threw the number out there, but we have at least 16,000 organizations lined up around the block that want to talk to you. They want to connect to you. There's no barrier between the service member and that employer that wants to bring you into their organization. You know, put yourself out there, research, do that soul searching. But at the end of the day, invest in yourself, and there is a wealth of opportunities and organizations that are eager to bring you into that mix. So chin up, mm-hmm. Be confident. These folks want to talk to you.
I'm going now. Recruitmilitary.com. I'm going to be there. I'm going to get that phone number, get that job. Hey, first of all, thanks a lot for that. I'm going to see if you still got it, though, if you guys are still motivated. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3. I'm going to see if you can give me a big hoo-ah. Now, don't be a wimp, right? You know, Night Stalker and infantry guy. You got to be pumped up. I'm going to see if you're pumped up. 1, 2, 3.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah. Oh, hey, look here. Great having you guys on the show, and have a great Army Day.
You too, Sergeant Major. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks to Tim Best and Chris Newsom from Recruit Military for being with us today. It was just great having them on the show. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been watching and listening to Your Next Mission Video Podcast. And thank you for joining us today. log on to our website, yournextmission.org, and leave me a review. I always say, oh, it's a good review based on Tim and Chris. I got to get a good one out of this one. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your job for transition out of the military. We also have added, based on Recruit Military, a job board for partnership with Recruit Military. And we're so glad to be able to work with Tim and Chris and their team on this. You'll be able to search for a job that's just right for you. Check it out on the video on our website and learn how to fine-tune your job search. As you heard earlier, you can also create an individual profile by scanning the QR code on the screen or one on the website. All information collected is confidential and will not be shared with anyone. Please know we're here to help you, and this is another way for us to do that. You can follow me on all my personal social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or X, it is now called, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to also click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Tim and Chris for joining us today. And I would tell you, when you listen to the Chris and Tim today, it's great to have veterans that are out there fighting to make sure we get employment, make sure that our veteran community and the families are that are taken care of. I tell people all the time, don't think that you're by yourself. Don't go home and sit on the couch and just worry about all the things that are going on. Plan, think, process. Make sure you start that process 2 or 3 years out. And remember, you got to have a mentor, somebody that's going to help you. And there's a lot of veterans, and a lot of, not just the Army, but all services that are out there wanting to help you and do everything you can to make your life successful. Remember, we're all part of a family. We all want to make sure that we take care of each other. Again, thanks for watching. And thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.